connections, one thing from another. And some of that was going on back in the day of Jesus, as people were reacting to the idea that a Messiah might be coming, and they were trying to find evidence for that event. People heard the message about Jesus, and it wasn't just the Jews. We have these three foreigners. We don't know their names, and I'm sure you've heard stories in which they are called Gaspar and Melchior, and I'm now forgetting the third.
Balthazar.
Balthazar, thank you. But they also could have been Larry, Moe, and Curly. We don't know their names, and we don't know that there were three of them. There could have been nine of them. There could have been 12. There could have been a whole army of these magi traveling from east to west. But Scripture tells us that some people of note came to visit the baby Jesus. And I was thinking about this story and what is right about it and what is wrong, because I'm not an astrophysicist, but I've learned enough science over the years to know that stars don't stop in their tracks. And the star that the Magi would have seen that day, if it was a star, would have been casting light from wherever it was, which means that they would have been observing something in the past. And these are questions that people have asked over the years, and some people have used it to pick holes in the veracity of Scripture, but others have used this as a reason to delve into knowledge about the world. And when I was on sabbatical, one of my teachers, Sean Henson, who was a great lecturer, knew a lot about astrophysics and was ordained in a priest, taught one of my favorite classes. And he brought some books with him to the lectures, and one of them was this book, God's Philosophers, which I finally got around to start reading. And the full title is God's Philosophers, How the Medieval World Laid the Foundations of Modern Science. Now, you probably have some impressions about the medieval world, the Dark Ages, how people were vicious and stupid and unenlightened, and they didn't know anything, and all progress had stopped. James Hannum would argue otherwise, as would other scholars who have studied medieval history in recent years. There were developments in architecture. There were developments in theology. There were developments in science. People were not benighted, but why do we say all this? Why do we believe it? Well, this is a case where history can be used as propaganda. And some of the Protestant reformers and people in that school didn't want to say that the Catholic Church had done anything good. And so they just started spinning tales and shaving events. We don't have that luxury. If we want to know about the world that God has made, we need to look at it with open eyes, and we need to use the tools that God has given us. Now, that's not to say that we won't misuse those tools, and I could go through the laundry list of all the bad things that humanity has invented over the centuries. I won't do that to you. But that's a choice we make, and that comes with free will. We have to choose to do the right things with the things we invent, with the knowledge that we develop. And you'll notice that the epigram on the front of your bulletin is from Isaac Newton. If I have seen a little further, then it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. Now, Newton was a pretty smart man. He was also a believer. And his work investigating the physical world and developments in mathematics were all to buttress his belief in God and to help us have a firmer understanding of God's work in the world. Of course, people would now look at Newton and they would say he was just a godless scientific giant, and his proof part of the proof of why we don't need to be believers, but that's not what Newton was up to. And one can practice science, one can practice medicine, one can practice mathematics, one can do all of these things and still be faithful. Now, that doesn't mean that we as Christians should not ask questions. Whatever faith we practice, we have brains and we have questions to ask. And God doesn't mind that. Now, one of the bad developments that took place in the church around the year 1200 or so was the development of the Inquisition. And perhaps you're now thinking of Torquemada and torture chambers. And that isn't what the Inquisition was all about. Yes, the church was looking to root out heresy, and they wanted people to follow Orthodox belief. But there were ways to do that. And yes, sometimes the priests who were ordained to do this abused their power, but that's not what the church wanted to do. They wanted people to come to a right belief. And one of the good developments came out of that is that some sectors of the church began to value preaching. Because how are you supposed to know what to believe? How are you supposed to know how to think if nobody gave you the tools to do that? So if I just held up my Bible and I said, all the answers to all of your questions are here, and I put it back, you wouldn't bother. You want to know more about Scripture. Why do we make these claims? And some of the medieval philosophers were beginning to unpack a lot of the ancient Greek works, particularly Aristotle. And there were some in the church who didn't like that because they thought, well, Aristotle was pagan. And pagan ideas will leave us in a bad place. And there were some really heated debates that went on that involved clerics, that involved popes, and ultimately led to developments like the university and the faculties of theology and natural philosophy, or the latter group we call them scientists. But all of these things happened because people recognized that there was something to be learned from people who weren't Christian. And they felt that Aristotle had a lot to say. And you probably have heard of people like St. Anselm or Thomas Aquinas, some of the giants in the medieval church. And these people were really smart. And they used the tools that were found in Aristotle to make arguments based on reason to support their belief in God. They weren't just taking things on faith. And I could go into some of the arguments that were made in great detail, and I would bore you all, but there was some pretty profound thinking that took place at that time. And again, that thinking is a gift from God. So how does any of this tie into today's scripture reading? Well, the Magi, again, these people we know very little about, were in some ways men and women of science, or at least science as it was understood then. And scripture takes a dim view of Magi. It believes that they are practitioners of dark arts and magic, and that's not something we're supposed to do. But we don't know that they practiced dark arts. We know that they could be astronomers or astrologers. And yes, you could say they were the Gene Dixons of their day, trying to discern the future by looking at the heavenly constellations. But people were under the impression that the stars had something to tell us. And of course, there was a lot to learn from the study of the stars. From the moon. And you know, Judaism and Islam, there are lunar calendars that are used. And they look at those bodies in the sky. that people today don't like to admit it, but 500 years from now, if we haven't all killed ourselves through climate change or nuclear weapons or something, they are going to look back at us and say, fools, because they're going to learn things that we don't know. And my hope is that our descendants will look at us with more charity than we often look at our ancestors. We are still looking for answers. We are still looking for the baby Jesus. We don't know what he looked like, but we know he was a baby boy and he was there in a manger. We don't know if he was visited by these visitors from afar. They may well have just been developed as a poetic way of talking about the arrival of the King of the Jews. We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that God loves us today, here in this place. And for that, we should give thanks, not only for the gift of Jesus, but for the gift of our intellects and for the ability to ask questions and to find our way closer to divine truth. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of inquiry and for all of the women and men over the years who have contributed to our wealth of knowledge. Help us to continue to uncover the truths about the universe that you have made, the universe that is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.